Next up is my report, and I'd like to introduce Michelle Pointer with the Central Missouri Board of Realtors, who is going to update us on the progress made for the Transforming Neighborhoods Grant.
Thank you, Mayor Schwentz. I'm sure you all had a chance to read the technical assessment that the Center for Community Progress that we emailed a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not going to go into great detail. And for those of you here that are not familiar with this, we started this grant process in June of 2020, right as COVID hit. And it was finished in November 11th of 2020. The mayor, the city administrator, Mike Morgan, and the Central Missouri Board of Realtors, we opted to do the technical assessment, which was a $20,000 grant for the city. The team helped us identify underlying factors that keep our problem properties stuck in decline and helped us providing us understanding of the existing tools that are already in place with the city that we can use to strengthen Marshall's revitalization efforts. They conducted a preliminary assessment of existing policies, processes, for vacant, abandoned, and deteriorated properties as well. So after this was received in November, the mayor put together a task force to look at all the recommendations. And our task force consisted of the mayor, Daryl Ahrens, Shelly O'Brien, Ginger McGraw, Chris Milleron, Robert Ashford, and myself. Those also involved in the very beginning with the task force were Leon Thompson, Dewey Hendricks, and Mike Morgan. And thank you all very much for helping with all that. Our final meeting was March 26th of 2021. So we met every month from the time we received the recommendations, and we went down each. There were seven recommendations. Some of it the city has to do on their own, but meeting with Mike and the council, you know, they know which ones those are. But the first thing was creating a widely distributed educational and training brochure for the community. So we put together, and I hope you each got one of these, A Quality Neighborhood Starts With You. And this brochure, we put together city codes and zoning ordinances, our local laws to maintain the quality of life in neighborhoods by protecting the public's health, safety, and welfare. On and on. So it gives you the most abused and the most, code violations that Mike deals with. We also put a little checklist in there for the top preventative maintenance solutions that homeowners can do. And then on the back is phone numbers that are important to homeowners or renters or landlords. And this kind of had a twofold project. It helped, we're hoping to be able to give this to, well, we are going to give this, I have someone who's going to print it for all the realtors. There'll be 1,000 copies given to every realtor office in Marshall to give to all their buyers, their landlords, whoever they see fit. And then we're hoping the city will at least send this out in their utility bills so that everybody in Marshall has it and can see it. And maybe that'll cut down on some of the issue of mowing and trash and whatever the case may be. Providing the homeowner with a list of housing agencies, counseling agencies, and that does this as well. The second thing under the Partnership for Profits and Nonprofits was putting together a tool lending library. And we had a lot of discussion on this. Ginger McGraw really did a lot of work researching this, and we had lots and lots of ideas. It came down to the amount of cost to the city, to time management for me. So Chris Miller on with Marshall Rice stepped up and said, as soon as Marshall Rice has a building, we will take this project on, which was absolutely fantastic. So if anybody that has an estate sale or leftover tools or whatever the case may be, you know, we'll be able to start this lending library for people to use. And then Dewey Hendricks gave me the number for a man who will come and teach people simple things like how to clean out your gutter or how to replace your furnace filter or things like that. And the Realtor Association is going to use him. We're going to have a, try to get together and have a buyer seminar, if you will, you know, on how to take care of your property. The Realtors also put together a committee. We have been looking for people to help, you know, clean up their yard or paint the outside of their house or clean up the bushes, whatever the case may be. So we're putting together a committee there that will have an application process. We've given Mike several different business cards and stuff for people who need help and can't financially afford to do what may need to be done to their house. So we're trying to work through all that and get that to help people out. Home improvement loan and grant funds. I know Robert was working on land bank for the city, which this also goes along with the committee that I was talking about for the Realtor Association, for the Marshall Realtors. I understand that we're too small to have one, but we'll work on getting that changed too. So revising the violation notice for a friendlier door hanger is what they recommended. The next to the last one was offering publicly owned non-buildable lots as side yards to the next door neighbors. Of course, that's up to you all as the city, and I know that you all are working on that every day. The only other thing that they recommended that we felt we could help with was adopt a vacant property registration ordinance that requires owners of long-term vacant and foreclosed properties to oversee security and maintenance of the property. And this caught a lot of our attention because of the fact that the buildings and we hear complaints and we read Facebook, we know what, you know, we all know what's going on. And as realtors, a lot of them affect the sale of the properties in those neighborhoods. So I'm going to use the old hospital for example, because I know they've gotten a lot of extra police calls, you know, vagrancy and people breaking in. I used to have the keys to that building and they would call me to come and lock it or to lock it or whatever the case may be. But with this ordinance, it has to meet two of the conditions along with being vacant for at least 90 days. And I believe you all got a copy of it and you're going to discuss it, but I just wanted to point out a few things. So we discussed the fees at length, the task force did, and most cities charge $200 every 6 months for a residential property, which was our suggestion. So we felt the task force felt in order to motivate owners of commercial property to rehabilitate, reuse, or sell their blighted properties, that they needed incentive. And it wasn't fair to charge the same for a large building like the old hospital as it would 1,000 square foot commercial building. So there's where the suggestion for the 15 cents per square foot came up. But it doesn't matter what you put in there. You can put 85 cents per 100 value of the assessed value of the property. I mean, it doesn't matter. We look at it and I'm going to use the old hospital again. But, you know, when you look at the amount of money you could have brought in, even on the assessed value of 85 cents per $100 of the assessed value, the amount of money the city could have brought in for the code enforcement office and to do other things that are needed, that would have been a lot of money over 20 years. Or however long the hospital's been vacant and code violations to it. But But I'm here to answer any questions. If you all have any on the recommendations that were put out, I want to thank Mayor Schwetz and everyone on the City Council who helped make this grant possible. Mike Morgan, thank you very much for your help and support. We couldn't have done it without you. And I truly appreciate all the help and enthusiasm that the Marshall Realtors have put out. I have met with all of them and gone over all of this with them, so they're all aware of what's happening, and we just appreciate you all allowing us to help you do this.
Michelle, thank you for all of your time, because you spearheaded this project and made sure that we were kept in line and on task, and that we actually took, you know, results of a study and move forward with the recommendations rather than just, you know, kind of sitting on
shutting and drawing.
And we still have some work to do, and I think, you know, we have things in place and things to consider that will help us move forward. One of the items I wanted to point out, when you brought up on this brochure some helpful numbers on the back, an example of also the proactive efforts that we've tried to make with this whole subject is, and Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong, we had a gentleman, Daryl Aaron, stepped up and put together some volunteers. Mike was aware of a gentleman that needed a ramp or a railing. And so Daryl and his volunteers, you know, helped this person and built it for them. You know, no cost to that person, because it was somebody who needed the help and couldn't do that themselves and didn't have the funds to do it themselves. So we appreciate efforts like that too. It's not just about taking people to task because they're not taking it up, it's helping where we can help.
Exactly, and Daryl has been great about this, and we have several churches who have agreed to help with that. Daryl's kind of our main go-to guy, and then the phone tree kind of goes down from there, so he has the numbers. If he can't get to it, we have other people who are willing to help, so.
I have a question, Michelle.
Yes.
You talked about the 15 cents per square foot for vacant commercial properties. You point out a very good one. I agree. That old hospital certainly has been thrown in our side. Would it also apply to something like the plaza, where the whole area is not vacant, but certain areas of that, the largest, has been vacant for quite some time? And when we have an owner that doesn't seem to be willing to sell, would that apply to that as well, or do you know?
Well, so two things have to occur. It has to be vacant for 90 days, and then it has to meet at least two of the following conditions. Is it secure? Is fire damaged to an extent where it's not safe for human occupancy? Is the site of loitering or vagrancy? It demonstrates a lack of property maintenance and upkeep, so it has to have a code, basically have a code violation to it. Has been boarded up for at least 90 days. That's kind of, no, that was okay. Has taxes and arrears, has water and electric that has been disconnected, is structurally unsound, and is a potential hazard and danger to persons. So
there's, I guess my question would be, there's no loophole that just because we have one tenant in a large area, it could, if it falls under two or three of those items, could also apply.
And that's there's good and bad to this. So this covers your vacant buildings who nobody's doing nothing with. But then you have those other buildings or houses, you know, and like the one concern that was brought up over and over on the vacancy of residential houses was, well, my mother died, it took us a year to get it cleaned up, but there was still furniture in there, they were taking care of it, the upkeep was there, you know, and the electricity was still on. But that's something that, you know, I look at, okay, so let's register that as a vacant house so that Mike knows who to call if the grass is too high or the weeds are too tall, you know. But, and the same thing with the building, it, you know, as long as it meets code, because at least two things have to happen. It has to be vacant for 90 days and basically doesn't meet code before it's considered vacant and abandoned.
Thank you.
And we were looking to basically at the commercial buildings that have residential property close to it, where there might be rats or cockroaches or, you know, whatever the case may be, going back and forth between
the tail.
Great.
Okay, and next up, we do have discussion of this proposed ordinance. So are there any further questions, either of Michelle, or I know Councilor Taylor has looked at this for us as well. And right now, it's just a discussion item, so no motion or anything is necessary this evening, more for information.
So in essence, a building can be abandoned as long as it's being maintained and the grass is mowed and secured and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because what I'm thinking right now, and I have no idea what condition the building's in, is the old Mustang Sally's out on the highway. I mean,
right.
And the outside looks great. I don't know what the inside's like. And it's been abandoned now for what? At least 1 year, maybe two.
Oh, yeah.
Three.
Four.
Mm-hmm. You know, for a building like that, it's abandoned, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of progression in anything. Is it for sale? I'm assuming it is.
It was.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still.
But there's also no code violations for it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, say it doesn't fall into those, at least from the street, it doesn't appear to.
But the one thing Mr. Taylor put in here, which was absolutely fantastic and we hadn't thought of, that it has to be kept free of trash, junk, debris, weeds, dry brush, dead vegetation, building material, newspapers, flyers, you know, all of that.
The outside.
And that, yes. And that, you know, small appliances, furniture, clothing. But that was absolutely fantastic that was put in there, because that's not, I'm going to use the Pizza Works building, for example. I don't know if there's any code violations, but as I was driving in today, I noticed the vegetation that is just overtaking the south side of that wall on that building. So, and in the parking lot. So, you know, that's.
Is that building abandoned? There's been kind of.
I think they're using it for storage or something.
There's been like storage in and out, so I don't know if there's just.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's abandoned or if there's any code violations.
Yeah. Okay.
Any idea? I think I read it today when I went back and looked at it a little bit, but I don't remember the number. Do you remember how many vacant properties we have in March when they did it? I know there was an estimate, and I thought they came down to a final number as well, but I don't remember.
I don't remember if it was 59 or 19. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I didn't bring that information with me.
I didn't either, so.
Because they said that there were not as many as what we had thought.
Yeah.
That from the last census that was taken. That, and I guess we look at it and we see all the bad, you know, instead of all the good. Or a mixture of both, and so it was not as bad as what we had anticipated. I think that the commercial buildings are what really stand out the most. And the first ordinance that was given to me to look over was just on residential property, and that's not just our issue. Our issue is structures, vacant structures.
Their amount, Kirk, at the time was that the census estimated that 11.6 of approximately 5,200 housing units located in the city are vacant at any one time. And that's according to 2013 to 2018 numbers.
Okay.
So the other thing that this will help when there's foreclosures that take place, the first thing the mortgage company does is they call Mike's office and they say, do you have a property registration? He says no, and they just hang up. So when they don't mow the yard, they don't take care of it, he has nobody to contact. And a lot of these companies, by the time they foreclose on it, and then they sell it to somebody else, and finding who is responsible for it is impossible, you know? So.
Until they decide to contact a realtor and put it on the market, and that may be 6 months to a year after they foreclose on.
Any other questions?
So, and you will not be able to sell the property if it's considered abandoned, vacant. It'll need a reoccupancy before it's allowed to be sold.
That would be
if it's so deemed. I believe that was written.
That's the way I read it.
If that's the way I read it.
In the proposed ordinance, yes.
In the ordinance. I believe it's section nine, is that correct, Josh?
Section nine, yeah, just say.
But could you, until inspected and found in, so it could be sold and fixed up, it just can't be occupied again until Mike comes back and re-inspects it.
Right. I mean, what I don't want to see happen is somebody moves some stuff in, pays a dollar, says, I'm renting this place, so it's no longer vacant.
Right.
So that's not the intent of this. The intent is to be able to say it's vacant, it's abandoned, now there's fees that are going to start applying unless you need to fix it up before you have the ability to do anything with it.
And the intent would be to either try to get the owner to tear it down, preferably, so the city doesn't have to.
I think if you read section 10 in conjunction with section 9, 10 provides that if the property owner sells, transfers, or conveys the property in question, that the property is still subject to registration under this ordinance, and it doesn't provide the property owner with any additional like extensions of time to come in compliance with this ordinance or any other ordinances regarding property maintenance within the city. So it doesn't prevent transfer, but the new owner takes subject to this ordinance if the property is required to be registered, and then any other pending matters that the code enforcement has pending on the property at the time.
The only other question I have is on section 6, well, under the registration fee, on C, there with the accrual of fees. So the fees start on the second calendar quarter after registration by the code official, unless they appeal. And then it's based upon the circuit court when the final decision of the circuit court. The question I would have is, should we be doing that, or should we say they start at that second quarter? And if you win the appeal, then there'll be a reimbursement. But because otherwise, I could see somebody just appealing this thing and continuing. And we know how long stuff takes to get through court anyway. I could see where this could hang out for years before any fees actually get applied to it.
If that could be revised, yes, so that those fees would be applicable subject to. Subject to a different decision by the circuit court on that appeal. So,
thank you.
Anything else?